honest information about living a healthy lifestyle on RadioMD.com. It's time for Naturally Savvy with natural visionary Andrea Donsky and health journalist Lisa Davis.
According to the Vegetarian Resource Group, over 11% of girls ages 13 to 15 call themselves vegetarian, and even more girls are trying to cut out meat by trying Meatless Mondays or going vegan before 6, like New York Times columnist Mark Bittman. So Andrea and I are thrilled to have nutritionist Rachel Meltzer, Warren, RD. She has worked with hundreds of families who are cutting down on meat as a consultant for Scholastic and the Harlem Children's Zone. Hello, Rachel.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. It's so great to have you on the show. This is a really important topic because I have seen, and I'm not an expert in vegetarianism, but I have seen teenage girls that I've worked with in different arenas who end up eating a lot of cheese and white bread. And I'm sure it's changed. This was years ago. But what do you see and what do we need to keep in mind when we're young, growing, and vegetarian?
Sure. Well, you know, that is part of the reason why I wrote this book. I myself was a teenage vegetarian who went down that path of bread and cheese and French fries, and, you know, whatever was left on the plate when I took the meat off, I didn't necessarily replace it with other things. So, you know, and that was what led me really to become a nutritionist. I developed this strong interest in nutrition as a result of my going vegetarian at 12 years old. And in my career, I started to meet more and more teenage girls who I would notice kind of doing similar things to what I did. So the teenage years are a really common time for experimentation with vegetarianism. And I just met so many different teenagers, girls in particular, who were looking for guidance and kind of, you know, dabbling in the world of vegetarianism and not really finding a lot of great resources to help kind of guide them along. So that's what caused me to write the book in the first place.
You know, Rachel, I remember years ago, we used to talk about, as nutritionists, I'm a holistic nutritionist, and we used to talk about complete proteins. And when going vegetarian, I know that was a concern. Is that still the case where you still want to get your complete proteins? And if so, what would you do to be able to get it? Because I did hear that it's not so much the case anymore, so I'd love to hear your take on it.
Yeah, you know, that is a somewhat outdated way of thinking. You know, protein is made up of these building blocks called amino acids, and all of the different amino acids that our body needs are found in meat. The different amino acids are also found in plant-based proteins, but not in that complete package that they come in. That they do come in meat. So years back, we did think that if you were a vegetarian who was not eating meat, you needed to kind of very carefully combine the foods you were eating to make sure you were eating a meal that had all of the different complementary amino acids in them. What we learn now, though, is that really over the course of the day, your body, you know, your body's really sophisticated machine. Your body knows how to put those amino acids together, even if you don't eat them all at the same, you know, at the same exact moment.
That's good to know.
So as long
That's
as you're
great.
Getting a range of foods and eating a balanced diet, you know, looking for complete proteins is really not such a necessary thing anymore.
Now, Rachel, what do you say to skeptical parents who are concerned that the child's eating the vegetables around the meat and, you know, and they feel like they're not getting enough food, or they're just eating the French fries or the other foods? What do you say and what
right.
advice do you have in terms
say,
of getting
eating
the teen?
Eating just the vegetables
yeah.
would be the worst thing.
Yeah, you know, yeah, that's true. You know, getting the teen in the kitchen with the parent, perhaps, and cooking together.
Yes, absolutely. You know, I think a lot of parents hear the word vegetarian and they get so nervous. They think that they're going to become a short order cook, you know, because of their child. They're, you know, nobody's ever going to eat the same thing again, and they really begin to worry. They worry about maybe what their child's reasoning is. But, you know, I think for parents, I just like to tell them that it's such a great opportunity to bond with their child, to get their child interested in nutrition. I think many parents miss that opportunity. You know, they see it as a challenge for the family. Well, it's actually a real, real great opportunity for learning and for growth. And, you know, get your child in the kitchen with you. Take them grocery shopping. You know, have them help you. Enlist their assistance in, you know, helping figure out what foods they will eat, what are the foods that do make up a healthy vegetarian diet. You know, they're old enough to really take a leading role in this change. The responsibility shouldn't fall to the parent at all.
You know, Rachel, with so much going on these days with vegan, vegetarian, you know, paleo, all these different diets that are out there, and I know it's more, I should say, way of life, because I don't really like to refer to these as diets, because they're not fad diets, they're a way of life for many people. Can you give us what your definition of being a vegetarian is?
Sure. Well, in the book, I talk about how there really is a spectrum of vegetarianism. You know, it doesn't necessarily mean one thing anymore, or, you know, it never did, but even more so, because I think so many people these days experiment with vegetarianism or test it out in different ways than we used to in the past. So, you know, you have Meat Mondays, where I'm sure you guys are familiar with this campaign, you know, that so many people participate in, where, you know, maybe they're not a vegetarian in the rest of their lives, but once a week they give it a try. You know, and those people aren't vegetarian per se, but I like to say they're on the spectrum. You know, they're giving it a try. They're thinking about vegetarian food. They're thinking about different meal options. You know, and then it kind of goes from there. So you have people who don't eat red meat. And, you know, of course, if you eat some form of meat, you know, you're not necessarily a vegetarian, but you're thinking about vegetarian issues. You're getting more plant-based protein in your diet. And, you know, so I think being a vegetarian can mean so many different things. So, you know, from somebody, and flexitarian, that's the word I want to throw out there. So, you know, that's also a relatively new term. Sorry.
Oh, I said I've heard that a lot. I like that. It's funny. I interviewed somebody else today, and they said that they mentioned being a flexitarian.
Oh, funny. Yeah, you know, it's becoming a much more common term. You know, so in that, the definition is kind of up to the person who uses it. You know, it basically just means somebody who doesn't eat a lot of meat or somebody who is vegetarian most of the time. Now, what does most of the time mean? You know, who knows? That's up to the person who's using that term to describe themselves. But, you know, I think there are just so many different entry points for vegetarianism now. It used to feel like a very, you know, it used to feel like a huge commitment. And I think now people are sort of slowly transitioning over to it much more than they used to in the past.
Well, let's talk about in chapter 5, you have building your vegetarian meal. Tell us about some of the components you really want to make sure you have to get the nutrients that you need.
Sure. So, you know, I like to always say going vegetarian is as much about what you're putting on your plate as it is what you're taking off your plate. So just, you know, removing the meat, that's the first step. But you really do need to add something. I know loads of vegetarians who have, you know, spent years eating, you know, if their family was having spaghetti and meatballs, well, they'll just have some spaghetti and sauce for dinner. Well, you know, that's not really going to cut it. It's meat-free, no doubt, but, you know, when you're removing the meat, you're removing some protein, you're removing some iron, important nutrients that you do need to be conscious of how you're getting back in. So I just always like to encourage my readers and my clients to look for those plant-based sources of protein to make sure that they are getting, you know, it's not hard. That's sort of a myth about going vegetarian. It's really not hard to get enough protein, but it does take a little work, a little extra thought. You know, so if your family is eating the spaghetti and meatballs and you just want to eat the spaghetti, or you don't want to eat the meatballs, so think of a replacement, you know, something as simple as a can of chickpeas or also known as garbanzo beans. That helps you replace some of that protein and some of that iron and other nutrients that you're missing when you don't eat the meat. You know, there are loads of replacement products too, like, you know, soy-based meatballs and things like that. And, you know, that's up to the individual if that's something they want to give a try. I really always recommend savoring those whole foods, you know. So like I said, beans are a great, really important food for vegetarians.
Those are great, great options because of the legumes as well.
Yes, exactly.
And, you know, unfortunately, Rachel, we're out of time for today, but if you'd like to learn more about Rachel, you could follow her on Twitter at RMW Nutrition. Rachel, thank you for being on our show.
Thank you for having me.
I'm Andrea Donsky, along with Lisa Davis. This is Naturally Savvy Radio on Radio MD. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Your Radio MD and at Naturally Savvy. Thanks for listening and stay well.